Guess what's important? What we're going to do here today. Brethren, we've met to worship and to praise the name of God. And I'm going to speak to you on the subject this morning, unity through diversity. Now, doesn't that sound funny? It's almost an oxymoron. Unity and diversity. And yet that's exactly what we find in the body of Christ. Everyone within the sound of my voice this morning is a different person with different personalities and likes and dislikes. And all of us at the very same time are a part of this body that we call the church. And so in the midst of all of this diversity, we come together in unity. And proper worship will always take place when there is unity in the house of God. Amen? Now, Paul said, unity by the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now, I want you to look with me at this scripture. In chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, this is what the Apostle Paul says. Now about gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. King James is a little more direct. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. And the actual translation of the word is uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or the other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. And therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in every one of them, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one of us, there is the manifestation of the Spirit, and it's given for the common good. Now, I hope you hold on to that, because I'm going to speak about it in just a few minutes. The gifts of the Spirit are given to us, each one of us differently, but all for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. But watch. All of these, not some, not part, but all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. One of the greatest coaches in football history was the famed Paul Bear Bryant. He became a coach with being a legacy in his own time. He came from a poor family in Arkansas and rose to the most popular football coach probably ever to exist, except for Frank Beamer. Now, I'm not an Alabama fan. I'm a Hokie. We cleared that up. And one time he was asked, how did you win so many football games? And Paul Bear Bryant said, I didn't win a single game. The teams that I coached won those games. And he went on to say, I was just a dirt farmer from Arkansas who learned to lift some men up and to calm other men down. And together, working as a team, we became winners. Now, this church at Corinth was a unique church. And every pastor who has ever pastored has gone through periods of his ministry when he felt like that his heart would just simply break. And when the Apostle Paul thought of the church at Corinth, this was his feeling. They had every kind of problem as a church imaginable. Power struggles. Every church faces that from time to time. The power struggle in the church was that they polarized themselves into different groups. And Paul said, some of you follow Apollos. Some of you follow Cephas. Why, some of you even have the gall to follow me. But who am I? Nothing more than a servant of the living God. Not only that, there was a problem of the relationship between the church and this matter of glossolalia or tongue movement, tongue speaking. And I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. It's a confusion. And then there was the problem that the church had on diversity. Diversity, and yet at the same time, in worship, because of the salvation experience, all people of God, saved by the grace of Jesus, receive the same Spirit. And it is by that same Spirit that we function as a church. And it is by that same Spirit that we are unified in the body of Christ. Now I want to speak to you this morning from this passage of Scripture in three different ways or three different points. And here they are. We're going to talk about the confession we make to the same Lord. Second, we're going to talk about the dependence that we have as a church on the same Lord. And third, the ministry we have, all of us, the ministry we have on behalf of this church through the Holy Spirit. Those are the three points. So you ready? All right, here we go. First of all, I want you to take note that we confess the same Lord. To confess means to agree with God. If I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Confession is saying to the Lord, I agree with you, Lord, that this matter in my life that is creating rebellion between you, my Lord, and myself is wrong. I agree with you and I confess it before your face. And all of us as Christians confess to the same Lord. In these opening verses, Paul makes a contrast in illustrating his point. And he said, as pagans, at one time, you worshiped that way. You worshiped as pagans. But now, this marvelous transformation that has taken place in your life, a transformation of salvation through the Holy Spirit makes you a worshiper and a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer is there a need for pagan worship or idols. And you know what an idol is? It's something that we create for us to worship. And I know it's shocking for God's people in God's church to hear, but sometimes we even do that in the church. We set up little gods that we want to worship. And sometimes our idol worship creates division instead of unity. But there is only one Lord. There is only one God. There is only one author and finisher of our faith. Somebody said to me the other day, we were talking about this critical Islamic problem of terrorism in the world. And they concluded the conversation with me by saying, well, we all worship the same God. And listen, don't you believe that? Don't you believe that? There's only one God. His name is Jehovah Yahweh. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the creator of all that there is. There are not multiple gods that we can worship. There's one God. And He sent His only Son, Christ. And it is He that we worship in the body of Christ. Why? Because it was Christ who created the church. And by His blood, He has paid the price for His church. And He said, Paul said, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. And I just get so frustrated sometimes at the media. They'll never use the word Jesus or Jesus Christ, but they'll throw the word God around all the time. And they throw the word religion around all the time. But religious people create gods. Christian folks worship the God. And that's who we've come to worship. And you just can't set up some idol. He said, as pagans, you worship dead idols. They were mute. They couldn't speak to you. But now, through the unity of the Holy Spirit, in the bond of peace, in the church of Jesus Christ, it is the Holy Spirit that is speaking and dealing with His church. I'm just an instrument to speak, that's all. And if you knew where I came from, my goodness, you'd say, how did he ever end up there? And you know what? I ask that question of myself almost on a daily basis. When I was in the second grade at Wella Baker School over in Cambria, I looked out one afternoon, and lo and behold, who did I see? My second grade school teacher, Miss Bale, and she was coming up those old steps on the front porch of that old house out on Montgomery Street in Cambria. And I said, oh my gosh, and I ran and hid. When I would go and hide, I'd run into what they call the front bedroom. And I went in the front bedroom and got up underneath the bed because I knew what was coming was not good news. And Miss Bale told my mother, she said, Miss Collins, we can't do a thing with him. We can't do a thing with him. And you know what my mother said? I'll take care of it. And not only will I take care of it, but when his father gets home, he'll take care of it too. And needless to say, Miss Bale didn't have any more problems with little Danny because they took care of it. And I'm telling you, if you knew where I came from and where I've been, and over the course of the time, I hope maybe I'll be able to share some of the stories of my life. But it is by the grace and miracle of God that I'm able to stand before you and speak. Paul also said, by the very worship of idols themselves, you are cursing God. You are marginalizing Christ the Savior. You are saying by your idol worship itself that He is unreal, insignificant, irrelevant. Haven't you heard that in the world you live in? People speak that. And then he turns right around and he says, only by the Spirit of God is one able to say, Jesus is Lord. And He is either the Lord of your life or He's not. There's no other options. There's no in between. There's no middle ground. He's either the Lord of your life or He is not the Lord of your life. Point number two. I like this because he is speaking in verse 4 through 6 of our dependence on the same Lord. And what it happens here in these verses, 4 through 6, is a trilogy of language. And he talks about, and see if you don't see the Trinity in this. He talks about the same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God. Now, I don't know whether you buy into all the Baptist doctrine or not. I happen to. And you have the freedom to believe what you believe, but you don't have the freedom to tell me what I ought to believe. And I believe that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are one and the same. And I believe when God Almighty was casting the stars into the sky and He was making the rivers flow, and when He was creating humankind, I believe that Jesus the Son was there. And I believe that the Spirit of God was moving across the waters in that creation story. As you read the Old Testament and the New, you find the connection. No separation, but always the connection. In the second chapter of Philippians, Paul said again, listen to this, it is God which works in you both to do His will and to do His good pleasure. And folks say, and Lord have mercy, I know I've said it, it is so hard to discern what the will of God is. And I agree with that. But I also want us to know that because of our salvation, He has recreated us. That is, we are born again. And when we are born again in that recreated process, He has a purpose for our lives. And everybody in this church has a purpose. The question is not whether you have a purpose or not. The question is, have you discovered that purpose? Have you set about the business with determination in your heart, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, have you said, I want to find out what God's purpose is for me in this world that I live in and how I can carry that out in the body of Christ? The story is told. I told my back row friends this morning, I said, I'm going to tell a joke on y'all this morning. Don't get offended, or if you do, go ahead and get offended now, and that way you'll be prepared when I tell it. Here it is. There was this old boy that attended the church all of his life, and it was in one of those old churches that had the what we call the cane back chairs, and he would sit at the back wall, and he would sit in that cane back chair, and he would rear back in that thing and let his head rest on the back wall. And he did this for years, so long that a grease spot developed on the back wall of that church. And years later, after he had died and passed on, they were painting the sanctuary. Of course, it took them 15 business meetings to decide to paint it and to choose what color. But they finally decided to paint the sanctuary. And they were painting the back walls. And when they got to that grease spot, somebody said, oh, no, don't paint over that grease spot. That's the only remembrance we have of Brother So-and-so. Now, do you want to be remembered as a grease spot on the wall? I mean, think about it. God has given you a will and a purpose for His glory. The Scripture says in Philippians 2:13, for His good pleasure. And so notice then that the source of the spiritual gifts are from God. And the sphere or administration of those gifts are in this place and in the world in which He has placed you. The church should be seen as nothing more than a place of training, an institution of higher learning, in which we come here to find both the will and those things which bring pleasure to the power of God in this world. Every time you walk out of this church, you walk out into the world as a witness, and you are to bring good pleasure to Him. And the energy for those gifts? Well, of course, It's redundant for me to say, but the energy is from God. Somebody said, Danny, where in the world do you get such energy as an old man? And I said, well, first of all, I ain't that old. I'm just 69. But where do you get that energy? And I said, my energy is arrived at through the gifts of the Lord that He has given to me. A gift that He has given to me is my wife and my family. That gives me energy. He's given me the possibilities of preaching. That gives me energy. He's given me grandchildren. He's given me more things that I could speak to you about. All of which I did not deserve. Which even makes a gift that much greater. And it's for His good pleasure. Now at this point, let me tell you something that won't cost you anything extra. Don't confuse gifts of the Spirit with fruit of the Spirit. You've heard of both, right? Gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit are the subject for today. Fruit of the Spirit is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. And he says, these are the fruit of the Spirit. You probably know them by heart. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Now think of a common apple tree. And the apple tree produces fruit if it's healthy and if it's good. Think of the Christian life. Not only has you, has God given to you spiritual gifts, but He gives them to you so that with those spiritual gifts, you can begin to produce fruit. All we are here today is just fruit-bearing people by the name of Christian. And that's who we are. Now, quickly as time moves along, point number three, let's talk about our ministry. We minister through the same Spirit to the church, or for the church, or on behalf of the church. The spiritual gifts, just like the spiritual fruit that I talked about there a moment ago, are for the benefit of the church. Now you have two forms of the church. You have the church which we call the local body of believers. Christians who are members of Wythville Baptist Church pass by here. And you take people to lunch or you're going shopping with a friend and you go by this church and you say, that's my church. And there's nothing wrong with that. Now, I tell you, there have been those who probably said, you ought not to call this your church. And in one sense of the word, you know what they're saying. We all know that this church has been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. But you need to buy into the understanding that this is your church. If your membership is here, or if you're a regular attender here, this is your church. It is the place that God has given to you to do the ministry of the spiritual gift or gifts that He has given to you. And I've had people say to me, well, you know, Pastor, I just don't have any gifts. And I want to say, go back to bed, pray a while, and get up and start this day all over again. And realize a few things that you've got in appreciation and in thanksgiving. And so, spiritual gifts like spiritual fruit are for the benefit of the entire church. At Fairlawn, we used to have on the back of our bulletin where it listed staff, you know what it had at the top? Ministers. And then out from it, all church members. Or all church people, I think it said. You see, you're as much a minister as I am. I just happen to be an ordained one who stands here in this pulpit. It's not about credential. I just happen to be blessed to have a few credentials that, when it comes down to the Spirit of the living God, are nothing more than paper. And I probably would not have had those had it not been for that woman sitting there and for the United States Army. When I decided and negated making the United States Army my career for life, I come out of the service. And I resigned my commission and I said to them, no more. I'm going off to do something else. And I remember the top sergeant, as we called him, said, what in the world do you think you can do? And I said, I'm going to be a preacher. And he looked at me and laughed. You? And I said, well, I'm going to go do it. And they were not only so good to me, they gave me what was called a GI Bill that helped pay for my education. And while I was in the service, my wife, who was then my engaged-to-be, finished over at Radford and went right to work. And so between the GI Bill and my wife, I was able to go to school. That's where I come from. To get not only my degree at Carson Newman, but my master's at Southeastern Seminary. I tell you that not to boast or anything like that, but just to tell you that we've got to discover what our ministry is. You've got to discover what your ministry is in this church. And then go do it. Because the unity of the church is dependent upon you. And there is no insignificant individual in this church. There are no power plays in the body of Christ. We are one in the bond of love. Why sing that song if we don't mean it? We are one in the bond of love. And you have an equal voice as an equal member. Thank God for the leadership we have in churches because they set the plans, but the church decides the direction. There are many individuals in the church, in this one and every one, and in those individuals there is something very special that is ongoing and continuing. It's called a linear or continuing action. And that is the working of that Holy Spirit. Now, on any given day when things aren't going so well for you, you ever had a day like that? Does that mean that the Holy Spirit has left you that day? When you're going through a bad time, have you ever thrown up your hands and said, oh God, where are you? I can't find you in this tragedy. And the truth of the matter is that He has not gone anywhere. The truth of the matter is that we have either, number one, become dependent upon ourselves to fix our problems, or we have negated that we have staked our lives in the Savior who says He will assist us in our plans. To be a part of the church, only to display the gifts that He has given us for some kind of self-glorification does not lift up the body of Christ, and it certainly doesn't lift up Christ Himself. Use your gifts, but use them for the glory of God. Now look at these gifts, and then we'll close. They are in categories. They're speaking gifts. The speaking gifts are gifts of message of wisdom, prophecy. And aren't you thankful for people who have been Christians all of their lives and have been faithful in the church all of their lives? And you know what those people have? They have great wisdom. And they can be a great asset to the church as long as they remember that The gift of their wisdom is for the glorification of God. The speaking gifts include the message of wisdom, the message of prophecy, and the message of tongues. Now listen to me. Remember, I said I was going to talk about that just for a minute or two. This is not talking. Let me repeat it again. This is not talking about speaking in tongues. We call that in Greek glossolalia. It's not about that kind of tongue. Let me give you an example. By 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, I'll be right down in the middle of Tegucigalpa, Honduras, the capital city. And except for the group that I'm with and the translator and the missionary on site, most of what they're saying, I will not understand. Now, I could speak a little bit of Spanish. You might say I could probably survive on the streets of Honduras or some of the streets. But what do I need in order to get around to preach, to teach in Honduras? I need a translator. And think about the gift of that translator. Think about it for just a minute. That translator speaks his own language, Spanish, but has a marvelous gift of speaking English, a gift of languages. And as I stand before people and preach down there in Honduras, way up in the mountains, I'm standing there speaking like I'm speaking to you. And the translator right beside of me is translating what I'm saying into Spanish. And every move and every gesture and every lifting of my hands, that translator is doing almost the very same gestures. You tell me that ain't a gift. You tell me that ain't a gift of tongues. And you see, Paul said that the tongue movement, as the people understood it, was divisive and it was creating serious problems in the church. And he said, it ought not to be done. We ought to desire the greater gifts, which are the gifts of love. Read chapter 13. There is no greater gift than the gift of love. Well, I got to conclude. I know that. They're serving gifts, healing, interpretation of tongues. There are sign gifts, faith, miraculous powers, and distinguishing between the spirits. And in all of these, he says, in every one of them, they are for the purpose of God, and he is the one, God is the one that distributes them according to his will for the church. In my opinion, the whole 1 Corinthians letter is about unity in the midst of diversity. If someone would say to me, take the whole book of 1 Corinthians and sum it up, that's what I'd say. It's a letter written to the Corinthian church about unity in the midst of their diversity. A final thing, Paul Bear Bryant said that always stuck with me. He said, we have young kids that come to us right out of high school. And if we aren't careful, we expect those young kids right out of high school to do man things. And he said, it's impossible. We have to begin with those young kids that have come right out of high school and to begin to shape them and form them into maturity. And once they become mature, are working on the road to maturity, we suddenly look out at them on the football field and we shake our heads and we say, they're becoming a team. Now, compare that to the church. Christ looks at us and he says, all I'm doing, and this is all Christ is doing in your midst, dear friends, is taking you, accepting you, receiving you just where you are. And he's saying to your heart of hearts this morning, if you will let me, if you will allow me, I will shape you and I'll mold you on the road to maturity so that my church at Withful Baptist can be my all in all and everything that I want it to be. I pray so much that that's the kind of spirit that you want in your life. Let's pray together. God, it's been good to stand on your behalf and to preach to these very kind and helpful people. And Lord, I thank you that there is no doubt in my heart that there are a whole lot of things that you've got for them to do. And in this process that they're going through of finding a pastor, Lord, you need to work in their hearts even stronger, and they need to listen to you more profoundly. I pray it, Lord. Do it. Do it in them, Lord, is my prayer. And along the way, as they form a mature spirit and bond of unity, we'll see changes start to be made, the church start to grow, lives transformed. And we'll be very careful, Lord, when that happens, to look back and say, yes, Lord, you did it. You're the one. And I thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name. Amen.